All right, so the first question is this. I thought being gay and stuff was a real problem. What Father Nicholas says that it is all just made up. Is it actually just a false thought people try on, or do people really struggle with this?
Can I jump in?
Yes.
In St. Paul refers to people who believe a lie. And my dad said, the lie is, you're one of us. That anybody can be tempted by absolutely anything, animal, vegetable, mineral, right? All kinds of ideas come at us. It's like the Jehovah's Witnesses knocking at the door. If you don't let them in, you're not a Jehovah's Witness. They're just at the door. Anybody can have any temptation. And so the idea that you must be gay and this tinges everything in your personality, I don't think that's true. I do think everybody's susceptible to different temptations. And we get stuck on the ones that the doorbells we answer. It's sort of like Facebook ads. If you click on something, you're gonna get more of it, you know? And so if you click on the gay lifestyle temptations, you're gonna get more of it. And you're going to think that that's who you are. And it's going to make you sad and angry, because you cannot satisfy these urges in a Christian life. You will not be blessed to live with a same-sex partner. And it's not just that the church doesn't bestow a blessing, it's that there is no blessing for this. And so we have to avoid the things that there is no blessing for. You know, whether you fall in love with somebody who's already married, or somebody who's the same sex, or somebody who for some other reason is not a person it's okay for you to have a relationship with, you have to just close that door and pray for the person very hard while you go live the rest of your life and find somebody it's okay, you know? And so the world tells us that our every whim is really important and exactly the thing we have to listen to, because the world doesn't understand. The purpose of our life is the salvation of our souls. And so anything you do, you have to look at through that lens. Is this going to save you, or is this not going to save you? And when you're in a relationship with somebody, you want it to last throughout all eternity. You want that person to go to heaven. And so you don't enter into a relationship with somebody that's based on stuff that will send you to hell instead.
Thank you. Yes, Father.
So I want to just thank Father Nicholas again for his talk. And just to remind you of this particular image that he put up here, that there's a core to yourself, and then there's all these other things that go around it, thoughts, feelings, and desires. Those things are real. The thoughts that you engage with, they're real. The feelings that you have, they exist. So the question is whether having had a thought and a feeling determines what your core is. That's the difference. If suddenly someone has a thought that they want to go off and become an astronaut, are they an astronaut already? No, they're not. They're simply someone who's thought about being an astronaut. When we talk about this whole picture, one of the images that I like to use is to think of God as the great potter. We are created by God perfectly. A great, beautiful bowl, if you will, that God has created. But he didn't fire the clay. That's our job, to submit to God's will. He gave Adam and Eve a job, to be obedient, to eat from a whole area, the tree of life and everything in the garden, but not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this process of choosing to do this was the way in which they would have been fired. Their clay would have become firm. Of course, what happened with the fall? It was kind of like that perfect pot gets smashed. This is the disintegration that we talk about, the falling apart. So when we're reconnected with God now through Christ, through baptism, through the sacraments, through our prayer, through our desires and our will, God's grace repairs that damaged clay. And then it is fired through God's grace and our willing obedience to God's desires for us in our life. So that doesn't mean that your brokenness is the core of who you always are. You are made in the image and likeness of God. And just as from the point of view of the church, just as someone who becomes a murderer, takes a weapon and kills another person, this is a terrible sin from our point of view. This is not the wholeness of who they're meant to be. But it's a manifestation of who they were at that moment. God's grace can heal this. In the lives of the saints, there's terrible sinners who have been, live lives where they were breaking themselves. How many people have listened to the life of St. Mary of Egypt? Live the life of sexual indulgence and perversion akin to what we see in our world, to what every movie and pornography wants you to do. This is what she did. She was broken. But God's grace healed her, pulled her together. So do we say that she's a harlot forever? Or do we say that she's a saint? She's a saint. So if we choose to make our behavior, our sin, our individual action of one moment in our life, if we choose to make that be the defining element of who we always are, we're not understanding what it means to be a child of God. So, yes, we acknowledge that people have feelings and desires. It's not for us to say, no, you didn't feel that. No, you didn't think that. Sure, they thought that. They think that. They feel that. But the question is, do we want this to be the defining element of who we are? Will it aid in reintegrating us with Christ? Will it be what returns us, restores us to being perfect in God's image? And everything we do each day serves to fire our clay, if you will. The more we do something, the more we become fixed and firm in it. So if you spend your life as a murderer, and you murder once, and you murder twice, and you murder a third time, you might probably murder again and again and again. And you're going to fix and fire yourself in this way. Whereas if you choose to repent of that, and you don't go back to that, and you stop that, then God can take that brokenness that allowed you to commit that terrible sin and heal it and reintegrate it and make you who you are in that core, not the other stuff that surrounds it.
Remember the image Father Nicholas used of the wheel? And as we each come closer to Christ, the center, we come closer to yourself. Wheels are a big deal. And that wasn't a bicycle wheel back in those days, right? It was probably a chariot wheel. So let's think of a chariot. This is an image that the fathers used a lot. A chariot, there's one driver, he's sitting in the chariot, or standing in the chariot, actually, and that chariot is being pulled by, say, three or four horses. Each one of those huge horses, think of those Clydesdales they have in the beer ads or whatever, each one of those horses is stronger than the man, than the driver. But they're under his control, and he leads all of them together in the direction he's choosing. Okay? This was the image the fathers used of what God made us to be, giving us these very strong parts of ourself that are to be under the control ultimately of him. But we're driving the chariot, That's what Adam was given to do. That's what Eve was given to do. Going in the direction that we choose it to go, following God's instruction. But in that same place, that same area, that same culture that made chariots, they had tortures, like in the Colosseum, and some of the martyrs died in those tortures. One of them was they would take one of the martyrs and they would attach each arm, each leg to one of those horses. And they'd set them off in all different directions. And the guy would be pulled apart. These strong things, these strong feelings, strong desires, strong appetites, they belong to us. And if you try to kill them, part of us is going to die. They weren't given to God, by God, to us for nothing. But they were given to get us on that direction the Father was just talking about. To become what's in us to become. But if they're running the show, we're going to get pulled apart. So that's the ultimate question. It's not, are these strong feelings, whatever we're talking about. For some, it's gay, you know, thoughts. For some others, it's cheeseburgers, you know, which is better. No. It's not, are these strong or not? They are strong. They sure feel real, whether they are or not. But that's not the question. The question is, where are they heading? Are they going to pull me apart? Or are they going to be brought to Christ and bring me to a good direction? Does that make any sense? Thank God.
Thank you.
I want to say one thing about Mother Scohannis. It's this gift of humor. And we should use some humor sometimes. I mean, this is a serious subject, but it's also, we could use humor. The idea of a Jehovah's Witness standing outside and not answering the doorbell. I find that to be very funny. And it's exactly what you should be doing. You don't answer the doorbell. And in my experience with Jehovah's Witnesses, there's an experienced one and an inexperienced one. And the experienced one tries to do all the talking. And then you direct your answers to the inexperienced one and they crumple. Very quickly. They have nothing. They're all smoke and mirrors. It's hilarious to see how quickly the experienced one beats feet because he knows that his acolyte is getting affected by stuff. So it's really like that's the way it is. Don't answer the doorbell. And temptation sometimes is very short-lived. I want to tell you a story that was really formative. I was newly married and I was driving to work, and I would go down a hill and come up a hill, and there was advertisement for a sexual orientated place, you know, like a bar, right, where women would dance and such. And it was very suggestive the way this woman was draped over something, and my eye caught it. I mean, you're going to see it. No, everybody's going to see it. Every male will be able to know the prettiest girl in the room as soon as he walks in the room. It's just biology. It happens, okay? And so I saw it. And I didn't want to look at it, but then the next time I came up, I saw it again. I looked at it, and I said, I didn't want to look at it, so here's what I decided. It works perfectly well. I'm going down, and I'm coming back up the hill. I know the sign is there. I know it's there. So I looked to the left. It was on the right. As soon as I passed the sign, it's gone. It's gone. Temptation's gone. That often is the case with you, even with sexual things, jealousy, all kinds of things. If you can endure it for a little while, it goes away. Try that. It doesn't always work, but it works enough that you start to really develop a strength and a habit. Just don't answer the doorbell. They're just Jehovah's Witnesses there. They don't know nothing.
Thank you.